Welcome to the Josh Ryan Show, a weekly podcast where I sit down and chat with highly successful digital entrepreneurs, experts, and creators to uncover their stories, secrets, and lessons that they've learned along the way to help you with your own projects. Let's get into today's interview. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Today, I am joined by Lucas, who is a fellow Instagram expert who's built a following of over 200,000 people sharing tips, tricks, and lessons to help people build and monetize their own audience. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Great to be here.
Yeah, awesome to have you. Can you introduce yourself a little bit more? Tell us a bit more about what you do, who you are, for those who don't know you.
Yeah, so I always thought this was more common knowledge in my audience, but I found out recently not many people know this about me. What I actually do is I am an elementary school teacher here in just outside of Toronto, Canada. That's always been my first and foremost role. My business has always been more of a side hustle for me. So teaching has always been my passion and what comes first. But, you know, pretty recently into 2020, right, dealing with the pandemic and whatnot, I decided, you know, it's time to pick up a business of my own and get started. So I'd already been working in social media management.
Apologies to interrupt your listening experience, but I just wanted to jump in and say, if you're enjoying this podcast so far, I would really appreciate it if you went ahead and left a review on whatever platform you listen on. By simply spending 5 or 10 seconds to leave a review, it helps us reach more people and grow the podcast, which allows us to get better guests on and give you better content. So if you're enjoying it, let me know with a review. Much appreciated. Thank you for your support and enjoy the rest of the interview.
For a few local businesses as just a side thing, and I decided to take it full on in March 2020, focusing on taking to Instagram to really just build that educational content, teaching what I'd learned, continuing to experiment things myself and try out new strategies so I could then report on how it went. And about just over 2 years later, here we are. Like you said, I have a great community here on Instagram who I love to share information with, the form of reels, carousels, lives, everything like that. Just discovering what really works on social media, mainly Instagram. It's my preferred platform for business, but finding what works and reporting it back to people in my audience, whether they are business owners, influencers, entrepreneurs. Personally, I am operating more on the influencer side of things these days, just because that teaching job is still my number one priority. But being an influencer and, you know, reviewing various software and technology that people can use for their own social media and content creation has been a great way for me to really run my business on autopilot and be able to do both things at once.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to create content is actually just go and try stuff and then report back on what's working and what's not working, as opposed to trying to like force yourself to think of ideas. You can just try it out, experiment, and then share with what works and doesn't.
Yeah, content's really all around us, right? We always say that. Everywhere we look, we can find content. And that's the best stuff we want to really be reporting on for the most part.
Yeah, I definitely didn't know you were an elementary school teacher either. And I didn't see it on your profile when trying to do a little bit of research for this. So that's interesting. Do you think that's helped you when creating educational content, having that teaching experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And a real approach that I've adopted recently that's really helped me, you know, shape the brand that I'm portrayed as and really trying to deliver to my audience has been, you know, having a personal brand is very similar to being a teacher, because I'm in a really big school where the first and foremost goal of me being a teacher, and again, it's like middle school, so 13, 14 year olds, is I want to convince those kids that school is a fun place that they don't have to, you know, dislike. School is going to be fun. Obviously, there's going to be some things they don't want to do. But at the end of the day, I'm your teacher. I want you to be comfortable learning from me and have a good time, because when you're enjoying school, I'm enjoying my job as your teacher. And social media is really the same thing, right? It's just a vast, much bigger audience than a class of 30 students. But at the end of the day, we're trying to convince that audience why they should follow us, why they should seek content from us, why they should trust us if we are business owners, right? There's so many parallels between just building that rapport, building that connection, and content and social media is the best place to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good way to put it, and helps you to build your audience. Did you have any skills or background before you got into social media, like management? Like, did you have design skills, or did you just learn it all through experimenting and doing it?
Yeah, the vast majority was just learning on the fly. If you look at my content from 2 years ago, it's very different from my content now. And I still do take a very, you know, simple and to the point approach, which is, I know we've spoken about this. I really like just, it's all that message, get that out there and communicate. So I still do keep a simple approach, but I have picked up a lot. Really, my graphic design experience in the past was just designing worksheets, designing PowerPoints that I'm going to use to teach in the classroom, right? How I'm going to convey that message. And it luckily transferred over pretty reasonably to creating content. That's personally why I've liked creating carousels. So those swipeable Instagram posts with multiple slides, because they feel like a PowerPoint presentation that I'm delivering to a classroom or using to deliver a lesson.
Yeah. And you can pack a lot more into those carousels as well, as opposed to a short infographic or something like that too. And so with you, because you're still teaching full time then, it sounds like.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm on summer break right now, but 9 to 5 for the most part, September to June every year.
How do you go about managing your time to be able to do that and also put out a ton of content and build your audience at the same time? Because it's almost pretty much a full time business, like what you're doing with your Instagram, whilst also working a full time job.
Yeah, so that's definitely been the challenge this year. It was a lot easier when I was teaching online. So when schools closed here in Canada, temporarily, of course, I did have a lot more time to double back and forth between teaching in an online format over Zoom or whatnot, and then having my dual monitors here so I could be doing both at the same time. But yeah, now that I'm fully into the classroom, Monday to Friday, that's my priority, right? I can't just whip my phone out and be, you know, replying to comments or answering emails. So yeah, having an effective routine and system has been a must for me. I try to get as much done as possible on the weekends when it comes to content creation. So really just batch creating. But beyond that, I've really leveraged recreating my best performing content. So I found that, you know, content that worked well 2-3 months ago, I can repost it every once in a while, or something that was a really strong message, I can rephrase that message and just say it slightly differently, right? Add to it, elaborate on it. I find that, you know, something I always say is that reusing the same ideas doesn't make you like a one-trick pony, or doesn't make you repetitive. It makes you an expert in something, right? We're not trying to be an expert in 50 different things. I'm trying to convey myself as an expert in, you know, 5 pillars or 3 pillars. And I'm going to repeat those things over and over and over again because they work for people. So really telling myself that it's okay to do that, to get content out of everything and to really just squeeze every topic for all the content it's worth, including, you know, switching up the format, something that maybe was a carousel in the past. Now it's a reel. Now it's an infographic. Now it's a live training that I'm doing. So making the most of that content has really gone a long way.
Yeah, that's a great thing for people to do, because especially with Instagram, where like on YouTube, like a video is going to stick around for years and years and years. Whereas with Instagram, like if it's not in your last 10, 15 posts, like new followers aren't going to see that content. And so a lot of the time, if you've grown 20,000 followers in the past few months, none of those people have seen that piece of content. And even when you did post it, like only a percentage of your audience see it anyway when you first post it. So you can post it 3, 4, 5 times and then get more of your audience. And if people complain about that, they probably aren't really your target audience anyway.
That's exactly it. I've found, you know, every once in a while I get like a joke comment being like, hey, this looks familiar. And that's when if I've been lazy or busy, or the post was just great and I don't change it at all. But usually I'll switch up like the cover design, or I'll switch the style from like, you know, a proper traditional carousel, just like the tweet style post that I've been liking these days. But no, you're absolutely right. Right. I say, you know, 8-12% of our audience might only see our posts, and we're always growing, right? We're always growing or changing. So people who didn't follow us a month ago may not ever see that post. Right. I find there's so much content out there nowadays. Sure, we can pin those 3 posts to our Instagram profile now. That's that new feature.
Yeah.
But there's so much content that it's a lot more rare for people to go back and, like, you know, check everything you've posted and really look deep into your main feed, especially if you're posting pretty often. So just get it recycled back to the top for them, and people are usually pretty grateful. Something that a nice little phenomenon that I've appreciated too is the people who say, you know, Lucas, I've seen this post. I know you posted this before, but I didn't act on it last time, and now I'm seeing it a second or third time, and I still haven't acted on it. This is the motivation I needed to actually take action and do it this third time. So that's a nice little bonus as well.
Yeah, true. They say you need to, like, for generating a conversion, it's often like, you know, someone has to see your brand 5 or 6 or 7 times. So I guess it goes the same for content, for people actually paying attention and taking action.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, big juicy question early on, I guess, but a lot of people are complaining about the way that Instagram is going. Some people are saying it's dying. Some people, you know, you see a lot of that chat online. How do you feel about the direction things are going? Do you still think it's a strong platform that people should be investing their time in? Are people overreacting and just looking at the negatives? What's your thoughts on things?
Yes, yeah, so I'll definitely open by saying, you know, I am frustrated with many of the ways Instagram has changed or is operating, but at the same time, I do understand why it's happening, and I think it's all a necessity. So I do still find that personally, because of the formats it offers, Instagram is my preferred platform as a content creator, because you can really do anything, right? You can share those carousels I mentioned. You can share infographics. You can still be a more traditional photographer sharing that. You can share the more lifestyle content. And of course, Reels are that all-encompassing format that really is getting prioritized to compete with TikTok and to compete with YouTube Shorts and just that short-form video phenomenon in general. But I do like how Instagram is still having all those formats. And I understand that, you know, they need Reels to do well for the platform. And tons of people say, like, oh, I wish it would just go back to normal, and, you know, go back to photos. We all want photos. But I'm personally realistic about the fact that I think a very small percentage of content creators are still missing those photos. And the future is those short form videos and that those Reels style content. So I'm personally adapting. It's been a bit of a tough change adaptation. But that's everything with content, right? So I do see and I am frustrated by the changes, but I'm viewing it as a challenge. And it's also a bit of a break. I think people need to understand that engagement is lower on Instagram, whether that's because things are being changed behind the scenes that we don't know, could be because it's summer in parts of the world, right? Could be everything. Personally, something I say too is that the whole Reels phenomenon and the shift to showing more people Reels or to doing that TikTok style. And for anybody who's not familiar with TikTok, most of what you see on TikTok, like the For You page, is content you don't already follow, right? So TikTok really goes and like wants you to find new people or trend-worthy things, and it shows you on that For You page. On Instagram, we used to always just see the content of the people we follow, right? We're choosing to subscribe to all these different channels. There's my main feed. I'm going to see the post that Instagram is selecting from the people I follow. But we have that shift now where I think Instagram sees TikTok does really well with showing new content from the people they don't already follow to its users. And that's why, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I have quite a bit. I know region-based, we see different changes, which is an important thing to mention. But here in Canada, I've seen tons of it's moving away from the post from people I'm following, and it will say, you know, you liked this post by Lucas O'Keefe. We're suggesting this reel by a different creator that you might like too. And that's been really new lately, right?
Yeah, I've even noticed that sometimes they'll show it based on like someone that I interact, like if there's someone that I talk to a lot over the DMs, like a close friend, I'll get start getting recommended content they've liked. And so it'll be like it's liked by this person, just because a friend has interacted with it that I speak with a lot, for example. And so they assume that we're similar people, and so they're pushing content that they like as well, which is interesting.
Yeah, and that's a big change, right? Because for so long, Instagram was very much, we're going to show you the feed that we've built from the accounts you follow. So I think that's a big shift that people need to understand. And I've just been telling people, you know, and this is important for brands to recognize too, and businesses to recognize, engagement is fairly low and down across the board, right? So we almost need a new standard of what engagement we're looking for, and realizing that, you know, a bit of a decline in engagement is okay, and it's the norm right now, right? So it's not like an individual account is doing poorly when engagement is down. If we look across the board, I'm sure the vast majority of accounts are experiencing the same thing. So it's almost like a new standard of lowered engagement there.
Yeah, I know the one of the tools that I use for like analytics and hashtags called Flick have got a tool which I believe is free just on their site, and it's called Open Benchmarks, where you can go and actually look, and it's interesting to look at because a lot of people have got their account attached to that, and so they're seeing like all of the insights of engagement, reach, profile conversion rates, like all of these things, and you can just go and look, and it makes it really interesting to be able to see, like, hey, it's not just me, like you say, it's down across the board. Or then other times it's like, hey, it is just me, everyone else is actually doing all right, and maybe I've done something wrong, maybe I've shifted what I'm talking about, or I've tried a different thing that just didn't work, which is always interesting to look at. But I agree with you. And I think also it's important to, like, look at, instead of chasing likes, which I've done a lot in the past, it's like, what's like your end goal? Like, are you trying to get people to subscribe to your newsletter? Are you trying to get customers? Are you trying to, like, what's the goal?
No, you're absolutely right. And I've done the same in the past too, where I've been quick to be like, how'd this post do? Let me look at the likes, because it's the easiest metric for us to look for. But there's so much more that people should be aiming for and including as their call to action throughout their content.
Yeah. What was your journey like starting out? Did you find results pretty quickly with Instagram? Did it take a while? How was that, like, trajectory early on?
So the thing that, and I don't think I would change anything in the future because it worked for my schedule. But something I would have changed would have been to seek to monetize my account a lot sooner. And I'm really grateful to see that many people are now monetizing very quickly, right? You know, at their 5,000 followers, 2,000 followers, but even beyond that, I waited quite a bit actually before I finally launched my first digital product. And it did very well. And that's when I kind of realized, you know, I've spent all this time building this community on free content, but it's only sustainable for me if I start to draw money from this community, right? For me to keep doing this. It's not just a hobby. I do want it to be a business. So about 8 months in was when I, 8 months after starting my account was when I finally started to monetize. And that's where I really started to see that flow come in of, I can set up brand partnerships and these reoccurring brand deals. And then my annual content calendar launch that I do every new year. So those are some great things that I've realized that I would have changed in the future. I spent a lot of time on engaging and building that community. Again, it showed me what works and what doesn't. So I am really grateful for it. But for anybody who is starting, I would absolutely say, like, find that thing that you are going to portray yourself as an expert in because you have the experience in it. Speak about that experience. Start getting people results early on just so you can speak at what you're doing, right? And then start to monetize that. Start to offer what you can do and what change you can provide for people as early as you can, because that's ultimately where I think we learn the most, and that's going to sell our account just as well as, you know, engaging with people and creating content. People like to see results, so bring the results and then talk about the results you've brought.
That's a good point. I wish I'd monetized earlier as well, and I think a lot of people have this idea that, like, if you're monetizing, you're, like, taking money from your audience or something, like trying to promote something. But as long as you just create something worth more than what you're charging, like if you're charging $100 and it's worth $1,000, like, you're helping your audience a lot, you're bringing them a lot there. Because that that content calendar was your first product, correct?
Yeah, and I think 2020 was the first time I launched it. Yeah. Oh, 2021. There we go. I feel like 2021.
Yeah. I feel like that's about the time I found you. It was on your first time you launched that. Because how many followers did, from memory, it was like 30, 40K, but I could be completely
off. That's about right. Yeah. When I first launched it, it was 30, 40K or so.
Yeah. So it took you 8 months to go to there, launch the product. What made you choose a content calendar? How'd you come to that?
Again, I just put out a lot of content to gauge what my audience was into. I was at a time when many people, like, I was excited to do the digital product. I liked the design of it. I liked the way it looks. And I found some good hosting platform to use it on. So I wanted to create something, whether it was an ebook or, you know, like a workbook or a tool sheet or something. But I found that time and time again, what my posts that were performing the best were my, you know, here are 7 story ideas for the week. Right? That's still my email list I send out. I send out story ideas that people can use and a few other things. It's a newsletter. But people time and time again have really enjoyed that in my audience, right? So originally I was doing small posts, like a carousel. Here are 5 things you can post about this week in a variety of different industries, right? Here are your story ideas. And I would even just type up scripts, like read this and change the blanks to suit your business and whatnot. And those were continuously doing really well, especially the October, November, December leading up to when I created the product for New Year's. So I said, you know what? This is something that I enjoy creating content about. My audience insights have told me it does well all the time when I talk about it. I know I'm confident in my ability to create, you know, a high quality, good looking product that suits this. So here's what I'm going to do. I didn't feel like an ebook. I felt like that would have, you know, my attention span or my style of creating products, I feel like I wouldn't have been able to sit down and actually do that. So that's why I haven't released anything like that yet. So I just looked at what I thought I was best at creating and what I knew I could help people with and put it together.
Yeah, I feel like that's almost more valuable than an ebook as well, because people can see, like, it's hard for someone to judge how good an ebook's going to be, but if people can see your content and they can see, like, they can see all of that, like, publicly, and then they can just buy your calendar that you've put together to help them.
Yeah, exactly. It's about looking at, like, the format that matches. Same as content. Find the format that matches you, that matches your audience, and put it together.
Looking back, would you have still done that if you had your time again? If you'd started over, would you have still launched that product? Or have you since found you've got a different style that you like to use to monetize?
No, that's something I still would have kept doing. I really enjoyed, and that's something I still launch every year, again and again. Yeah. And I send it back out to the people who already bought it for free, just because it is that kind of evergreen product that I just update year to year. So if someone bought it previously, I don't have to change it too much, but I do get this new influx of new customers every year. So I like it for that reason, because it does feel very timeless. I can keep just updating it for 2023, right? 2024, and I'll just keep putting it out, which is good. Like I said, I try to make my business as autopilot as I can. So that one big launch every year does great for my business. And then from the rest of it, I'm looking at about 3 or 4 brand deals per month that I'm just pre-planned. The great thing I've been able to work together this year is to get a few reoccurring sponsors. So we're on longer term contracts. I know I put out a post or 2 posts for them every month. And I know I can now expect that and plan out that revenue throughout the year. So that's ultimately my goal, to be able to plan out that, you know, that long-term forecast of my business on a year-to-year basis, which really is compatible with my lifestyle with the 9-to-5 job as well.
Yeah, it adds a lot of security when you know you've got a couple of companies that are going to work with you every month. How do you go about effectively driving traffic from Instagram to whether you're pushing it to a content calendar, whether you're pushing it to a brand deal? I guess with educational posts, you can create some education and promote it at the end. Like, how do you go about that to get the best result? Because there's a lot of ways people can do it. People can just jump on their stories and say, hey, go buy this. Or they can post a photo of their ebook or whatever and say, hey, go buy this. But how do you go about it?
Yeah, one thing I'm thrilled about with Instagram is that through all the changes that we've seen, the link in your bio still is a super effective place to direct people to. I use Later, which has its built-in link in bio, so I'm allowed to use multiple links. And I just love that I can still use that call to action, click the link in my bio for this, and time again, people still go to it. So that's my favorite way to direct traffic directly through Instagram. Like you said, I find educational content is the best way to do that. So typically, I'll make a carousel post. Sometimes brands ask me for reels, so I'll do that for them as well. Or just whatever seems to fit the project more, whatever content format works best. But I started this off with carousels in the first place, where it would be a tutorial of how to use this platform or this product that I was, you know, sharing with my audience. And then the best thing I like about carousels, because you're taking that person on that swipe by swipe journey, right? They're really locked in. They're not skipping through videos every 15 seconds. And moving on.
Yeah.
It's also a pattern break, right? So people are swiping up and down to go to the next thing. All of a sudden you're giving them a carousel. They're swiping left and right. And for whatever reason, that has a magical effect that stops people in their tracks if they like the content and gets them consuming it. So that's why I still find that when it comes to conversion rates, you know, even though reach isn't the best compared to reels and maybe things are changing, but I still stand by that I find carousels have the best conversion rate out of any content because it's taking people across that journey. That educational journey of seeing what it's all about. And that final slide right there, tap here or click the link in my bio, or I've even used DM automation, you know, DM me this code word and I'll send you a link to the product right now. So that's why I love carousels for that reason, but also just driving content to the link in bio is excellent. And then the other thing that for anybody listening who I know this is a bunch of people say this, and I learned this, experienced this firsthand. For anybody listening, if you're not building your email list, build your email list, because that is still like, I am astounded by my click-through rate and my open rate on my email list right now. I need to keep reminding myself to, on a weekly basis, pop up a story promoting it, saying, hey, if you're not on my email list, sign up now. Because I think I'm sitting at just over 3,000 people right now, but I know that could be significantly higher if I actively pushed it. But through those 3,000 people, I'm getting hundreds who are clicking on my links to my promos. And that looks great to show with my brands, because I have a very specific style of writing my newsletters. I like to keep it very casual, very personal for the people, so they know what they're getting out of it. And I find that when I do put a promo in there, right, they understand why and they value my opinion. So they actually do want to check it out, because I like to keep it as genuine as possible. Email list is a huge way that I don't see ever changing, because this is all stuff we hear all the time. Doesn't rely on an algorithm. You own it. As cliche as those sounded to me before I wasn't building my email list, I can now confirm those are absolutely true.
I've been terribly on and off with my email list for a long time, and you should be more consistent. I should be more consistent with it. And hopefully this can be one of those 7 or 8 times someone has to hear something before they actually take action on it.
Exactly.
Like you say, it is powerful. And would you go about promoting that the same way? So you create like an educational how to grow on Instagram, and then on the last slide, it's like, hey, for more tips, you can, subscribe to the email list. Is that sort of how you're going about it?
Yep. I also do things. So I think about it depends more individually what your email list offers. Things I do. So again, content ideas. I give a list of, 5 to 10 trending reel songs that people can use. And then some other things like Instagram updates. So whenever, Adam Mosseri hops on his stories or posts a reel and tells us, or there's a great blog, Social Media Today, that I like to keep in the loop with, that kind of curates all that information from, different social media platforms and shares it as articles. So whenever I see stuff like that, I'll include updates. So yeah, like you said, if I'm doing a carousel post about the most recent social media update, or if I'm doing a carousel post about some trending reels or some ways to make reels, then my final call to action might be, oh, and if you want more, or if you want to guarantee you're staying in the loop, sign up for my email list as well. Click the link in my bio. It's right there.
Yeah, that's awesome. With the brand deals, how are you going about getting these? Are you reaching out to companies? Are companies reaching out to you? Is it a bit of both? How does that look for you?
So that's actually another thing that I probably would have changed early on to answer your earlier question that I didn't recall earlier. Currently, and actually always, I've been approached by brands because, again, I waited for brands to come to me without realizing that I can approach brands. Anybody can approach brands, right? Anybody who has a dedicated community and can show it. And it's very easy to tell, right? When someone has a dedicated community, anybody who has that, regardless of how many followers they have, can approach brands. So what I would have done in the past, or what I would change would be, I would think of some brands who I was already using, who I really liked to use. And you know what? I was probably going to go out and create free content telling how the platform works or how the product works anyways. And I probably would have reached out first and said, hey, I have this great idea for a post. I personally like your product or your service or whatever, your tool. I would love to share a sponsored post about it. Please let me know if you're interested, right? Something I have as well is I have a media kit now that I've been using for the last year and a half, that has just some quick little statistics and insights about my audience that I just, go into the Instagram app on my audience insights. Every month, I will just screenshot all the parts that matter, put it over into Adobe and design it. And then it has links built in that send over to some sample posts. So I say like, here's what a sponsored reel might look like for me. Here's what a sponsored carousel. Here's what a story campaign might look like. Click the link for some real life examples that I've already done. So I would get that media kit together a lot sooner if I were going back in time. And I would reach out to those brands. But yeah, nowadays, many will just approach me. I find the best way to communicate is through that email me button on my Instagram profile. So if anyone's looking for brand deals, I really suggest putting that there. Realistically, I should probably even add to my bio, email me for collab inquiries or something like that. Because email is, you probably experience this too, email is so much easier to keep track these days than DMs. DMs can get quite busy, quite crowded, especially as we grow our accounts. So email is where I really view the most serious inquiries and where things really get put together and take off. So I would suggest people put that call to action to email you. Or if you are a brand, email the person you want to work with. It is a much more effective way. And if you are looking for brand deals, anybody listening, put that media kit together. Again, super quick, just a one page about your account and who you are and maybe your audience, or like the content you share. So a quick little elevator pitch, a page about your audience insights that you've screenshotted directly from Instagram. Just crop them and clip them so they get the parts they need. And then a page for each type of content that you offer. You can put your rates there. I personally do put my rates there directly on it, and I update those every month. Some people prefer not to and like to talk about the product too, or the project first, and that's really up to you as well. But those are the main things I'll put into a quick little brand kit.
That's some solid advice, and I don't think something that's been mentioned on the podcast, building a media kit, because the brand's going to ask for it anyway. Like, they're going to ask for your insights, so you might as well put it into a PDF and then you just chuck it over to them, as opposed to having to type it out, find all the screenshots, and do it all manually in an email.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you periodically increase your rates then? Like, do you each month bump it up a little bit, or is it based on follower count, like for people trying to gauge how much they should be charging? Is there a way that you calculate it, or is it more just based off supply and demand of how many people are reaching out? What are they saying yes to?
Yep. So I do a few different things. If it's brands where it's more long-term partnership, then it's more case by case, because we'll look at that long-term of how long we're going to be doing this together. It typically is a more long-term contract. And then for more one-off brands, and typically people find that a brand that even could become long-term will start off as a one-off, right? So most brands are reluctant to, you know, be like, let's work together for the next 6 months, but they'll probably do a trial, right? They'll work it out. They want to see how your audience is going to do. And then if it goes well, they might reach out to you. I always follow up I'll give a little report after I'm done a project, and I always follow it up, especially if it's the first project, with, you know, it's great working together. I'd love to stay in the loop or stay in touch for any future projects that you may consider working with me for. So something like that is what I will typically do to keep it coming in. As for where to start charging, this can be a bit of a tricky question, but first and foremost, I tell people, because you can do those, you know, X amount of dollars per X amount of followers. And in a second, I'll give a suggestion for what I would do on that. Because there are some decent ratios people can do. But before you do that, think about what the content creation is going to take for you, right? How long are you going to have to put into this? And try to give yourself something that is worthwhile for you to get out of it, right? We don't want people creating something and getting like, you know, $20 out of it, right? Because we do want them to actually get their worthwhile for their time. And something that I've recently focused on too is that with brand deals, it's not always about them wanting a direct, you know, gain on what they're paying for the project. They want it back in sales and then some, right? Something that I've really had to rewire my brain, especially as someone who is leaning into the more influencer style things, is that many brands, and especially the ones, the more reputable ones and the ones who really know what they're doing, they know that it's important to seed their brand out there and to be seen and to be just talked about. And like a common topic in our discussion this episode has been, you know, getting those touch points out, being seen 7 or 8 times, right? So sometimes my post directly, right, my link in bio, my offer, my email list link that I'm putting out there might not be the actual one that someone clicks on and buys the product or signs up for the service or subscribes to. It might not be, right? But I might be one of those 7 times where they're thinking, you know, they're about to make that buyer decision to sign up for this social media tool, the social media product, and they're thinking, you know what, let me weigh the options. Lucas has used it. So-and-so has used it. So-and-so has posted about it last week, right? And they finally start thinking, a lot of people use this, or a lot of people have been talking about this. I'm now going to try it out. So that's another big thing too. I find people might pressure themselves or stress themselves out thinking, I got to make sure I get this brand a return or a positive gain on all the money they're spending on this project. They need to make it back in sales that I'm directing. It's not the case, right? It's a lot of product placement, a lot of just being spoken about and viewed in a respected way.
Definitely. And that's something that I've come to learn as well recently. And not only, like, there's other ways about it too. Like, you see e-commerce brands, which is a bit different to what me and you are doing, but like physical product e-commerce brands will be paying people to create content who might not even have an audience, and they just want the content that they can then post on their profile. So they might hire someone and send them a product and pay them a couple hundred dollars to shoot a 30-second TikTok that can be used on the brand account, or other people might be paying for association with a creator or with a celebrity or influencer, like a sports star that gets paid to, you know, drink Gatorade. Like, it's not because of the conversions on their page, it's because of the association with that as well. Like you say, so influencers like yourself, it's just so much more valuable than people, I think, realize thus far anyway. I think people will become more aware in future, but very, very valuable if you've got the right audience.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I like how you said it's about, like, association is a huge factor, right? It's less so about direct one-to-one sales and that association. Like you said, an athlete, they're not expecting that athlete to sell, specifically that athlete to sell millions of dollars of Gatorade, but they're going to want you to think of Gatorade when you are about to do some intense activity, right? And you think of that athlete doing the same thing, and you're going to pick that over Powerade. Yeah, so I mentioned that I would say kind of like a good ratio for people who maybe are getting started in the influencer side of things to look at what they might charge for a brand deal. And like I said, it's important to kind of have your bottom rate that you want to get out of this, and it makes it worthwhile for you before you are, you know, having a flux rate that might, or a flex rate that might matter based on your audience size. So find that bottom line is what I say, right? Whatever, you know, if it takes you 2 hours of work that you can maybe calculate, it's going to take you 2 hours of work to get that post together, that content together, give yourself what you want to earn for that 2 hours of work first. And then typically what I'll add on top of that is about sometimes around 10 to 15 bucks per every 1,000 followers is what I will typically say. So again, get your bottom line. So I don't want someone with 1,000 followers to only get $10, right? But start with that bottom line and then build on it with 10 to 15 bucks US typically for every 1,000 followers. So mine would typically be, I would, you know, start with my bottom line and then add something like $2,500 on top of that.
Yeah. $2,500 for your 2 hours creating the post, or is that the $2,500 for like the first 100K followers or something?
Yeah. So that'd be like for the 230K followers that I have. And then I would put my bottom line on top of that.
Interesting. I don't know if you're allowed to mention this, but I would assume you can. Do you also take an affiliate commission when you're doing brand deals, or are you just doing a flat fee?
Personally, I prefer the flat fee. I've done a bit of everything throughout my days, but typically I will default to the flat fee unless it's like a different situation. But typically flat fee. My media kit doesn't mention affiliate in any way. And sometimes I've even had brands approach me with the affiliate, they'll pitch an affiliate thing, and I'll say, sorry, at this time, I'm not currently doing affiliate arrangements or affiliate deals. However, here are my rates for, here are my flat rates for a post or a campaign.
Yeah, makes sense. I feel like as a creator, you probably shouldn't be, if a brand's reaching out to you, you probably shouldn't be taking affiliate only. Like, I feel like you should only be going affiliate only, just my personal opinion, if it's a product you already use, you already love, and you're going to recommend anyway, like you might as well get the affiliate commission.
Yeah, my goal, and you do it, like, I love your YouTube channel. I'm like envious of like your production, how well that's put together and how you communicate. I'd love to have a YouTube channel and like a podcast as well. I think that's a great spot to just kind of put in those passive affiliate links, right? Like, hey, I mentioned this, or I mentioned this often. I know people use like the Amazon storefront and things like that with, you know, maybe their microphone and their headphones. So I would love to get into YouTube and have those like kind of like passive affiliate links. That's probably where I would incorporate more affiliate income as well from there.
I definitely recommend getting into it, especially seeing you've already got an audience to help kickstart your channel. When I do, just for reference for people listening, seeing, I guess, a slightly different perspective, when I do brand deals, I'll charge a flat fee, but I'll also charge affiliate. But I think that's probably because I'm on YouTube where I'm doing brand deals as opposed to Instagram, because Instagram, I guess if you make a post promoting a brand after 48 hours, it's probably slowed down, like the amount of reach they're getting. Whereas on YouTube, like, someone might pay you for a brand deal, but that video might be getting customers for 2 years to come or 3 years to come. And so you definitely want a percentage of that upside. So I found I'll charge them a flat fee for like the initial week of views to my own audience, but then there's also the affiliate link for that year, 2 years that it could rank on a search term or something.
Yeah, it's so much more evergreen, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I would definitely recommend you get into it, even if you just post like tutorial content, how to do this, how to do that. and just use it. You could almost use it for like your brand deals. Like I assume you work with Later. I see them in your profile. Mm-hmm. A bit like you could do like how to do this with Later, how to do that with Later, Later review and just that. And you can direct people from your Instagram to that, but then also get the evergreen searchable traffic. But
yeah,
that's what I'm excited to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. But no, but that is something I would love to do is like have it as an extension, right? Because that would be a great, I can look at brands and say, you know, I can offer the Instagram, I can offer the email list, I can offer the YouTube or the podcast. So that really is my goal. I would love to get to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It just takes a bit of time. You'll want to get a team in behind for like, I've got an editor that edits my videos and so on. So I just have to focus on coming up with an idea, filming it, and then they handle that. Otherwise I'd be going mad trying to keep up with everything. Now, something I wanted to touch on before we wrap this up is actually another platform, and that's LinkedIn. I see you've done a little bit of stuff on LinkedIn, and you've built up a few thousand followers, putting out some content there. Has this helped you from a business perspective? This is more of a selfish question, to be honest, because I'm about to start doing LinkedIn. But have you found that's helped your business or not particularly?
That's a tricky one. I very much repurpose everything to LinkedIn. Same with Twitter. I would probably double down on Twitter before I double down on LinkedIn. I enjoy Twitter more as a platform as well. And I want to make it work. I just got to keep consistent. That's the thing I've been enjoying about using Later is I can, you know, repurpose my content to Instagram, to LinkedIn, to Twitter, all in one go. Right. And that's allowing me to stay more, more relevant and more consistent. That's what I'm looking for on that platform. I do think it helps to be present on LinkedIn because a lot of people, much like how I mentioned, email is a great way to be approached. I've had some good positive outreach where people are messaging me on LinkedIn because they know, you know, his DMs are probably a nightmare or super busy on Instagram. Let's shoot him a LinkedIn message. And that's actually been a great way for people to get in touch with me, I found. So I do like it for that. That's probably where I would say it has helped my business. In terms of the content creation, I don't know if I've really spent, like, doubled down on enough and spent enough time on there myself. I would like to, but it's kind of like if I'm going to be creating content already, text-based posts actually do quite well, I find, on LinkedIn. So it's to the point where it's like, it's so easy to just recycle and repurpose my Instagram content over there that I might as well, right? It's another channel. Yeah. It's another way to kind of just build my audience. And I do, you know, I'll put out my email list there I'll sign up for it. When I launch my product, my content calendar in December, I do mention it there. I haven't looked at how many purchases have come from LinkedIn. I'll take a look this year, but it is just another place that it's the effort I find is quite minimal. So I might as well, just another channel for me to be potentially discovered on. And it also like we've said, I guess this could be like the topic, right? How many times should people see your brand as much as possible, or they need to see it a few times before they start to trust you. So LinkedIn could be another place to do it, where they're kind of saying, yeah, I'm connected to Lucas on Instagram. I'm going to follow him on LinkedIn and see if he posts stuff on there. So I got to be more consistent as well. I'm doing that this summer, but I've had periods where I just disappear entirely for months on LinkedIn. So I don't know how much better I'd be doing if I had been continuous throughout all that.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, if there's no extra time to be scheduling your content there, you might as well chuck it up, eh? That's how I'm viewing the likes of TikTok and so on. Just throw up your content. I got banned on there actually after posting like 7 reels, but
oh, yeah?
I have to fix that. But yeah.
That's always what they say to do on TikTok. Yeah. To repost a bunch. Yeah.
I think the issue is because I didn't use it on my phone. And so they probably thought I was like a robot or something because like I just used it on the desktop and just was posting clips from Instagram. There was nothing like outlandish. There was no swearing. There was no anything bad. So I assume it was that, but we'll find out. And that's a good wee hack. I don't know if many people would have picked up on what you said there, but if you're trying to reach out to influencers, creators, etc., find the out of the platforms they're active on. So maybe not something that they're not active on, but look at the ones they're active on and find the one with the least amount of engagement and followers. And it's going to be the easiest to reach out, whether for some people that's Instagram, for some it's LinkedIn, for some might be Facebook, email. Good wee thing there.
Yeah, find that easiest way to get in touch for sure.
What would you say would be the biggest mistake that you've made in your 2 years of building your brand that other people could learn from?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I know I've mentioned the not monetizing soon enough. I think that is,
yeah,
that is still the one I stick to. Not monetizing soon enough and not building that email list. Really do try to do that. But I guess actually what I could say here is, in the beginning, I was very much, and I know we kind of spoke about this, we just segued over from talking about other platforms, but in the beginning, I was like listening to everything Gary Vee said along the lines of like, you got to be on every single platform. So I was trying to show, like when I was brand new, I was already trying to show up. I tried YouTube back in the day. I tried LinkedIn, I tried Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. I tried to be on everything all at once, before I even fully knew what I was doing on any of those platforms, right? And I found that was ultimately to my detriment. Now I realize, like we've spoken about today, it is good to be on other platforms. And obviously it's another channel for monetization, another channel for building your audience. It is great. At the time you are able to do it, right? So whether that means outsourcing, building a team, repurposing your content, there are obviously different entry points that people can use to start doing this, but way too soon, I thought I had to be everywhere. Now I would definitely say to anybody starting out, pick that one platform to like dominate in the beginning and to really make your home, I would say your home base platform, your main one that you're known for, right? And then when you know you've kind of made it there, that and that's the right platform for you in terms of content creation and connecting with your ideal audience, that's when you can start to spread out and go to other platforms, right? We see a lot of the big TikTok people try to go to YouTube or Instagram, right? Because I guess they realize, you know, maybe they can't monetize TikTok as well, or their audience is a little bit different. So we always see them build that YouTube channel, right? Where they get that really good premium content. Or they say, you look at their pinned comments on their TikTok videos, and it's like them pinning their own comments saying, oh, I'm also on Instagram. Go check me out over there. Because they're realizing they need to build those elsewhere. But I always do say, get known on one big platform and then branch out. I tried to branch out too early, and I think I wasted a lot of time and content trying to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome advice. And that's how I did it almost as well. Like I tried to do everything, and then I did just YouTube. And now I'm doing everything, but I'm doing it with the team. So like I've got editors, like I mentioned, I've got video editors, thumbnail editors for YouTube, I've got someone to help me with Instagram content, got someone to do the TikToks. Like you can do it all once you've got that point, but yeah, you got to be awesome at one first.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, the goal for me is to be on all of them, and I do like it is the way to go, and we should know about how they all work too, because they're all copying each other, those platforms anyways, right? So it's the exact same thing, but don't try to do it all at once.
Yeah, and that actually makes it a little bit easier when you think about it, the fact that they are copying each other, because you can just create short form content for TikTok and then you can just chuck it on Instagram and YouTube Shorts and you're good. Like even if you don't pay any mind to Reels and Shorts, you just chuck your content up there if you're a TikToker and you'll get some growth.
Anyway, it's probably the best chance to do that right now too, because I think I heard TikTok is starting to even, we knew Instagram cracked down on not wanting TikTok watermarks, so everyone was focused on removing those watermarks, but I think I may have heard like in the past few weeks TikTok even announced like we don't want, obviously a response to like Reels watermarks, I'm assuming. They said like, we don't want watermarks from other platforms either. So I guess they're kind of saying, oh, Reels is actually starting to be a bit of a threat. Yeah, I got to double check that, but I'm pretty sure I heard that in the last 2 weeks that they don't want that. And as far as I know, there isn't a platform that lets you remove the Reels watermark, but people can easily fix that just before they upload the Reel, hit that download button to download that draft, right?
Yeah. Good tip there. I didn't know that, but that probably makes sense. Instagram are going hard trying to get people to create original content, and so there's probably more of it, and TikTok probably don't want it all over their platform, taken away from it. Now, to switch for the last question, to flip things on its head from the previous one, instead of mistakes, what would be your like 2 to 3 bits of advice that you would say if someone wants to go and build a side hustle on social media like you've done, potentially even go full-time with it, what should best bits of advice for them?
Yeah, I'd say I'd split into 2 things. I'd say, you know, is the best time to be a content creator, and every business, every small business or things that start as small business have to be a content creator these days, or like we said, outsource your content creation, but you have to be putting out content in some way, whether it's you creating it or someone creating it on your behalf. you just got to learn it. So find the platform and the way of creating content that works for you, that you're going to be able to repeat in the long term in a sustainable way, because, you know, it's free advertising to get your content out there. So we might, like, why not take advantage of it compared to in the past when people would have had to use traditional advertising, put tons of money, put the content creation in anyways, they would have had to pay for it, right? Now we can just create it. There's so many apps and platforms and softwares that make it so easy to create and find content. Might as well get started. And then to supplement that, I do still think a huge part of growing on social media does come down to engaging. I don't mean to spend 10 hours a day doing it, because that can be a huge time sink that also prevents people from doing other parts of their business that are very important. But don't post and ghost is a common thing we say, right? Don't just put up your content every single day and then that's the only input you're doing to Instagram or whatever platform you're on, right? Post and then go build a network, go interact with people, go comment on their posts if you actually like their post, go support them, because those comments, that's a notification of its own, right? If you just like someone's post, it says Lucas and 57 others liked your post. But if you leave a comment,
yeah,
that's Lucas commented this. They can read it. They can actually see what you're doing. That is just, you know, putting your boots on the ground and getting out there and delivering your content to people, right? Or delivering your name to people. So that is the best thing I still say that works for Instagram. I think a lot of people just think just posting will do enough. Obviously, we know it's not the case, right? And even on platforms like TikTok, where that was okay for a while, I think that's even changing. It seems like you got to even engage and build there, which we want to build a community, right? Communities become customers. Communities become support systems that keep us in it for the long run. I'm still really good friends with, you know, some of the first 100 accounts I ever met on Instagram 2 years ago. We still collaborate together. We still, you know, help each other out and coach each other through different things. We compare notes and strategies, right? That is what kept me in this for the long term. And I only got there by supporting them, getting out there, wanting to meet people in my industry and in my niche. So create that content, but then support it by engaging and building a community is what I would say.
Awesome advice. Love that. And that's even more effective nowadays. I don't know if this feature is everywhere, but and like your notifications, do you have it where there's like the priority thing comes up where it's like notable accounts? So if you've got a few thousand followers and you're commenting, like you're also right at the top of people's notifications when you come through as well, which is pretty cool too.
Yep. I have that one too. And that's been really neat in the last few months because it gives you, you know, this person and you, like, it recognizes you've been talking back and forth with this person. Here's that notification right at the top. So if they're showing up on ours, we're probably showing up on theirs too. So it is a great way. I also like the close friends feature. It's one of those things that was added years ago, but it was kind of underused. But we were given word from, it was either Adam Mosseri or one of the Instagram blogs, I forget which one, but they said, when you add someone to your close friends list, you see their posts more on the feed. So I like to do that. The accounts I'm trying to regularly build a connection and a rapport with, I add them to my close friends. And we also have like the favorites feed now too, which I haven't really explored as much, but we have all these ways to just see their content more. And it really just makes those people a priority and builds that connection a lot faster, which is a great way to do it too.
That's interesting. Adding more people to your close friends and using it a bit more tactically. I like it.
Yep.
Awesome, man. Hey, I think you've covered a ton of good stuff here and had a really good conversation. If people want to find out more about you, find more content from you, check out your stuff, where can they find you? I'll leave any links for it down below so people don't have to try and spell it all out. But yeah, hit us with it.
Yeah, so I still say, and you know, like I've said with most of our chats today, especially me leaning on the influencer side of things, my audience is my business. So my community is my business. So anybody who wants, they can support me by just checking out my Instagram page. It's just at the Lucas O'Keefe. Somebody else got Lucas O'Keefe before me. So just the Lucas O'Keefe.
Yeah.
Connect with me there. If you want a little bit extra, just click on the link in my bio and you can sign up for my email list and get some weekly emails and content ideas from me there.
Awesome. Definitely recommend it. I don't think I'm on your email list yet, but I'll have to sign up to it because it sounds good. But yeah, that'll be linked down below. Go check out his content. Great stuff on Instagram marketing. And yeah, thanks again for jumping on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.